Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
They're hating it. That's right. The media losing their friggin' mind that Trump worked at McDonald's. They can't handle it. Oh, man. Because how does Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin serve people French fries? Through the drive-thru window, no less. Not exactly very Hitlerian, is it? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. It's Monday. It is the deadline. Today is the day to register to vote in Pennsylvania. It is the final deadline. It is here. So you got to do it. There's no same-day registration in PA. It is it today. So if you've not registered to vote, you better register to vote. All right? We'll talk to Scott Pressler about it later in the show. He's going to join us. And Trump is going to speak in North Carolina. We might dip into that for a little bit. I got to tell you, I was talking to my buddy Dana Perino before, and I agree with her 100%. Trump's move going to the McDonald's was brilliant. Brilliant. It was a masterclass. I know everybody's focusing on the trolling aspect of this of Kamala Harris, but I think it was the perfect masterstroke in just showing how incredibly likable the guy is and just that a normal guy that he is. I mean, he's just a normal guy who's a billionaire. But that's why working class guys love the guy. It's because he's a populist billionaire. And the left can't, they can't freaking handle this. They've tried so hard to make him a caricature of a danger to democracy. And all I kept thinking as he was throwing the salt over his shoulder, because it's bad luck if you don't, I'm telling you, as a guy who likes to cook, and I was making pizza yesterday, I put in a video on Instagram if you'd like to see it. You spill salt, you better throw that salt over your shoulder, all right? I don't know if Hitler ever threw salt over his shoulder. I'm not too sure about that. You know what I mean? But I know one thing. He didn't serve fries through a drive-thru window. Now, the left is making a big deal over the fact that it was a staged event. Staged. But what political event is not a staged political event? Like, what were they expecting, out of curiosity, that the former president of the United States of America was just going to randomly pull over, walk into a McDonald's, and just walk behind the counter and just start cooking? Is that what, in their mind, would have been an actual authentic event? I'm just trying to understand this. Because MSNBC and CBS News are like, this was a staged event. Well, yeah, it's a political event. Political events are always staged. There's that whole thing about keeping the guy safe from would-be assassins, you know, and you don't want to have a would-be assassin go through the drive-thru thinking he's getting a fillet of fish and pulls out a gun. So, yeah, everybody who went through was screened by the Secret Service. Shocking, I know. But he really did give them real McDonald's food. And they really ate it. I assume they ate it anyway. I don't know why they wouldn't. It's delicious. That's the other reason why the left hates this. They hate McDonald's. No, they do. They hate McDonald's. They consider it to be the colonial imperialist of fast food. And now the Golden Arches is now considered to be white supremacist. And Mayor McCheese is a threat to democracy, you see. No, they're trying so hard, and this is why this event was brilliant. They're trying so hard to make him into this caricature fascist dictator who's a threat to democracy. And when he's leaning out the drive-thru window and he's handing people food, or when he's listening to the young black girl talk to him about how much salt to put on the fries, it just shatters that complete myth. And they hate it so much. They hate it. They're like, that's not dictators. And dictators don't do those things. But of course, dictators also don't leave the White House either, or leave the presidential palace or whatever it is when they lose. They stay like the guy in Venezuela and they hunt down their political enemies and have them killed. And Trump didn't do that. He left. But that still is the talking point. Danger to democracy. Danger to democracy. And yes, Mayor McCheese is a danger to democracy, no doubt about it, without question. And Grimace, I don't even started on Grimace. That guy is the ultimate deep state actor, if you ask me. But I digress. The point is this. It was brilliant. He stole the day. The news was all on him. It's all on him today. Everybody showing the pictures of him dropping the fry thing into the grease, the hot oil. Oh, delicious. Over and over again. And you know, at this stage of the game, with 2 weeks to go, if you can win the day, if you can win the weekend, then that's it. That's the game. You know, you win these things by, we say in politics all the time, You try to win the week. You try to win the day as it gets closer. You try to win the hour. I mean, that's how these things go down. And he won the day and he won the weekend and he's winning today too. And just the absolute outrage over this, of how dare he do a staged political event. First of all, it's funny because I've been in politics so long and I've seen it all. You know, I've seen governors and senators working the 4-H tent, you know, at the state fair, and they're grilling hot dogs and hamburgers. And that's also staged because they go in there and they work it out with the details. And, you know, if the guy's the governor, then the state police get involved with the security and, you know, depending on the level of the. And if there's a president who's running for re-election and they go to the state fair and they carve butter or milk a cow, like, yeah, they plan all that stuff out. But they're like, oh, the McDonald's was closed to the public and only his supporters could get the delicious McDonald's food. Right. Yes, obviously. Because A, he can't just walk into a random McDonald's and just start working there. And B, you have to make sure that nobody going through the drive-thru is a whack job who wants to kill him. And since he's almost been... There were two assassination attempts on his life. You really want to make sure that one is particularly something you keep in mind. And that coffee's very hot. Somebody could just pretend that they were ordering a coffee and throw it at him just to burn him because the McDonald's coffee is so scorching hot. Well, remember that woman won that lawsuit. Don't forget. Over the hot coffee. Or maybe it was McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts. Or maybe it was both. I don't even know. We're getting a little bit of an echo on the stream. All right, we'll try to fix that. I think I'm not sure why. What we'll try to address that in due time. I think it may be something to do. We had a little bit of an issue earlier in the show with an echo, but we'll try to correct that. So we do that. We have our buddy Elizabeth Pipko joining us later in the show, and Elizabeth, we're going to have her on the stream. You definitely want to see her on the stream more than me. I can tell you that. Saturday night, I did Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla. If you had a chance to see it. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. If you missed it, there's a lot of clips online for you on social media. I'm just going to restart my camera. And there's a lot of great clips, so please take a look. And if you get a chance to rewatch the show, you should definitely do that because we had a great time. It was a lot of fun. So the McDonald's thing, it's absolutely a masterstroke. And then there's the whole trolling factor of Kamala Harris. Did she actually work at McDonald's or not? And she can't prove it. Whether or not she did or not doesn't really matter. This is why. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why exactly. Because of this reason. And this is very important. Everybody right now is talking about Donald Trump and McDonald's. And they're bringing up the fact that Kamala Harris can't prove she worked at McDonald's. And that's a really interesting fact, is it not? That Kamala Harris, if she did work at McDonald's, doesn't seem to have any pictures of her working there. I mean, I was a waiter in New York. I got pictures of me as a waiter. I have friends who can vouch for it. And I don't even think it's that as much as it just shows him being likable. In my opinion, that's really what it comes down to. It's the likability factor. That was really what the win is. Maybe even more so than just trolling her and whether or not she ever worked there or not. It's just the likability factor. Here's a great example of this. This is Trump learning to cook and bag French fries at McDonald's, wearing an apron and a red tie. Just like Stalin. This is also where he throws the salt over his shoulder. Right in our backyard. Right in our backyard. McDonald's a stone's throw away from all of us. Right in the battleground. Cut number three.
The bag. Gonna help you with the bag.
Okay, President Trump. So for our first order that's going out the window, we're gonna need three medium fries. So would you like to put the medium fries in the bag?
I think so, yeah. So
right,
we'll do that. Because you know who's taking these, right? Mine. Do they ever ask for more salt?
Sometimes.
Supposing we want some extra salt, can we just go like that?
We will give them salt, baby.
What's your salt? I love salt. Wait a minute. I spilled some. Listen, I'm very superstitious. Now it's over the left shoulder. Now I'm okay. Let's go.
All
right, good. So we're going to start from this side. Yeah, fine. Put them in standing up, right?
Correct.
Good job. You're an expert at this, huh?
Yes.
How long have you been this?
I've been working with
that 10 plus. 10 plus? Yeah. All different jobs?
Yeah.
She doing a good job?
Does an excellent job.
She better, right?
Does an excellent job.
This is beautiful. Let's go.
Stop it right there. Hold on. Just pause it. How dare he question the workabilities of the black girl? that racist monster. And then how dare he say she's beautiful? That sexist pig. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. How dare he? All right, keep going.
How many would you put in a bag like this? Like six?
Six mediums? Five. A first order, get three medium fries, and they're waiting for you.
Okay, very good. Let's go. Oh, I see. Now I'm going to see that. Oh, that's your customer out there. Wow, it's pretty good. Okay, let's go.
I see that. Pretty good. What a monster. Questioning how much salt to put on the fries. What a monster. He doesn't just take her word for it. This madman. And then, of course, leaning out the drive-through window, smiling, looking fun, relaxed, like he's having a great time. And the people that met him there were thrilled. The people that work there were happy. I'll bet you that woman's voting for him. I don't know. I don't know if anyone's talked to her or not, but I bet you she votes for him. I bet you she'll never forget that. And I bet you she told everybody about how nice he was. And everybody at that McDonald's was loving it. Bump, 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 except for the media. So which meltdown should we hear? Why don't we hear MSNBC's meltdown over this? Ooh, that's a good one. So MSNBC has a meltdown, a struggle session, after Donald Trump picked up a shift at McDonald's saying Trump is not well, cut number eight.
If you're on his campaign, and I know you are certainly not, I'm not making any implication of that, but what is the logic behind this, going to a McDonald's? I mean, we know the guy likes Big Macs and Filet-O-Fish, and he's used the word love to describe the way he feels about the food there before. But what's this about?
There's no logic to it. It's a stunt. He has not put forth an economic agenda. He, as you know, appears to be
Hang
not
on.
Well.
Stop it. Stop it. There's no logic to it. It's a stunt. Okay, well, actually, the logic is to show everybody how likable he is, to point out that Kamala Harris says she worked at McDonald's and doesn't have a way to seemingly prove that. And the logic also is that he dominated the news cycle and is still dominating the news cycle. So there, I just gave you three logical reasons for doing it. That's three, all right? And it's a stunt, yeah, because in politics, that's what you do. You do political stunts. You do them a lot, actually. And yes, everything is staged in politics because that's how it has to be. Because you literally sometimes even need an actual stage. Keep going.
And he's engaged in some really bizarre types of activities during this campaign. So this is just another
Stop
one
it right
of those
there.
Stuff.
Bizarre activities like salting French fries, dropping them into hot oil. Bizarre. Giving people food that they ordered. How dare monster. Bizarre. I mean, McDonald's. Not Burger King. Keep going.
That he will continue on through the campaign. And I think that we need to really focus on making sure that he is not elected, of course, because he is a threat to our democracy, but also...
Stop it right there. I agree. He is a threat to our democracy. Did you see the way he dropped the fries into the oil? That's what he'll do to liberals. Yes. He will load liberals into little fry trays and drop them into that hot steaming McDonald's oil. And he will throw salt all over them. Yes, that's what he'll do. Only what he'll really do, because he's such a threat to democracy, is when liberals go through the drive-thru, he will give them a bag and there'll be nothing in it. And there's nothing worse. Am I right? To quote Joe Pesci in Lethal Weapon 2, they blank you at the drive-thru. And that's what Donald Trump is going to do to every liberal who orders at McDonald's if he's president. You're going to go through the drive-thru. You're going to get your bag. You're going to think you got the right order. You didn't. You didn't. Something missing in there. Or everything's going to be vegan. Or you're going to order vegan and you won't get the vegan. You'll get real beef. This man must be stopped. Do you see the way he threw the salt over his shoulder? Huh? Like some Italian. Oh, like Mussolini, because Mussolini was Italian. I do the salt over the shoulder. I'm Italian. Clearly he's Mussolini. Duh. Obviously. Now we finally have solved the riddle. Because, you know, The Atlantic the other day wrote a piece. I didn't read it, but I just saw the headline. I'm not paying for that. It's a paywall. But the headline was, Trump is sounding like Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin. All three. I don't know if it's the same time or not. I didn't really get that far, like if he's speaking in dictator tongues. But the Mussolini part now I understand, because we Italians are incredibly superstitious. I'm telling you, even yesterday, making my sauce, which when it goes on the pizza, I don't cook it. You know, it's just tomatoes. I put a little salt in there, some olive oil. I mix it up real good, get the water out so it doesn't get the crust soggy. Spilled some salt, take the salt right over the shoulder. Italian, Mussolini. See? Got it? By the way, pizza yesterday was phenomenal. I posted some videos on Instagram, as I mentioned. Phenomenal. So I did a little tweak to the dough recipe. I threw in a little more sourdough starter than I normally do. Game changer. Game changer. The oven was at 900 degrees when I threw the first pie and cooked in 90 seconds. Bam. I'll tell you what. Anyway, point is this. This madman, this danger to democracy, did you see the way he leaned out the drive-thru window as if he was symbolically telling the world, I'm coming for you, world, with my apron? And he didn't wear a hat. That monster did not wear a hat. So is it possible his hair wound up in some of the people's food? Huh? I actually saw that. You know, I actually saw that clip, a comment on X yesterday, complaining that Donald Trump was not wearing a hat as required by health codes. I kid you not. As required by health codes. And that, therefore, people should be outraged. Yes, I agree. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Here's a man, though, going through the drive-thru who didn't seem to complain about Trump not wearing a hat. He just thanked Trump for taking a bullet for us and, of course, for handing him over delicious McDonald's food. Cut number four.
Okay, I wouldn't mind that guy. I like this job. I think I might come back and do it again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. You made it possible for ordinary people like us to meet you. You're not ordinary. I mean, thank you so much. You are not ordinary. I can see. We pray for you, and you are the type of person we want to be the president. Thank you very much.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for taking the bullet.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I took a bullet. That's right.
Thank you, Mr. President.
When you think about it, I guess that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You didn't even offer him extra ketchup. You didn't even offer the guy extra ketchup, barbecue sauce, nothing. What's wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you, monster? And I'll tell you something else, too. That's an unhappy meal right there. Oh, yeah, because the Democrats are the party of joy, even though they're having no fun whatsoever. But whatever that happy meal was, that was an unhappy meal. The unhappy dictator meal. Instead of a toy, the child gets a copy, a kid's version of Project 2025. That's a true, no joke. Gender neutral, of course, obviously. But that's what really made the kids unhappy, going through the drive-thru, getting the Happy Meal. And they open it up expecting, I don't know, a toy, maybe the latest Avengers character or a princess. And they get a gender neutral Project 2025. And I just say that that is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Not only that. But since Kamala Harris wants to ban burgers, literally said, I'll ban cheeseburgers to save the climate, and Donald Trump loves McDonald's, and there's lots and lots of cows involved in this, you can clearly see how this madman wants to destroy the earth by having more burgers, thus more cows tooting, and you'll probably be tooting as well since you're going to McDonald's, and that means the whole world. We have no chance of making it. Do you understand? Now you know. I'm outraged by this. I'm outraged. CBS was really outraged, though. I'll play you CBS being really, really outraged. Here's a little clip of CBS from the combination of CBS this morning and CBS last night and CBS in the middle of the night and CBS every 5 seconds. This is cut number 30.
former President Donald Trump on offense last night in Battleground, Pennsylvania, visiting a Pittsburgh Steelers game.
Thank you very much.
It capped off a day of campaign stops.
And I've always wanted to work at McDonald's.
That included a visit to a McDonald's, closed just for him, where he tried scoring political points after claiming without any evidence that Vice President Harris didn't once work at the fast food chain while in college.
She never worked at McDonald's.
She says she did. He leaned through the drive-thru window to take reporter questions. Wouldn't say if he supports boosting the minimum wage.
He spent part of the weekend, this is a little bit unusual, unexpected, at a McDonald's in Pennsylvania, where he put on an apron, you can see there, and also worked the fry machine for a little while. Now, you might think there's some just everyday normal McDonald's customers there in line, but no, the people at the drive-thru, we are told, were all kind of pre-screened supporters. Meanwhile, yeah, there's a pre-screen supporter right there. Very happy to get fries from the former president.
Wait a minute, I spilled some.
Briefly working the fry cooker
stop
at a McDonald's
right there,
outside
Philadelphia. Stop it right there, pre-screened. You know, not a potential assassin. Going through the drive-thru and being like, oh, and here's my money, and then trying to kill him. So they pre-screened him like they pre-screen everybody who goes to a Kamala Harris rally too, all six of them, because that's what you do when you have the vice president of the United States, who's also the nominee at this stage of the election. You pre-screen every single person in the room. But isn't that interesting how CBS mentions that? Pre-screened. The audacity of this. All right. We're going to talk to Michael Regan coming up next. I'm very excited to have that conversation. We got a great show for you. We got a lot of great guests coming up. It is the deadline to register to vote in Pennsylvania. So please do it. Please. I beg of you. You got to do it. All right. We got to win this one. Got to win Pennsylvania. Can't mess around with this. All right. I need my burgers protected. I need my cheeseburgers protected. 855-839-1210. The Big Survey Day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your free implant consultation today at 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
There's a great movie, if you haven't seen it yet, about President Ronald Reagan. It's called Reagan. And Dennis Quaid, one of my absolute favorite actors in the world, plays Reagan and does a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. Here to talk about it with me is the eldest son of former President Ronald Reagan, Michael Regan himself. He is the president, the head guy of the Ronald Reagan Legacy Foundation. Mr. Regan, it's an honor to have you on the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. It's actually the Reagan Legacy Foundation. But thank you very much. And I don't know if I need to get rid of that eldest son stuff.
Well, I know it's on your bio, so you may want to take that out.
I got to tell whoever wrote that bio to get rid of that. Ooh.
Yeah, well, you know, you can definitely take it up with them. So it's great to have you, of course, Newsmax contributor as well. And the movie Reagan is now available for download on all major digital retail platforms, and it's been a huge success. I mean, this has been an incredible achievement.
It really has. I mean, the people who go see it don't listen to the critics because they never like anything with the Reagan in it. But go see it. It really is. It is a great movie. I tell people, but stay through the credits until you hear the child read the letter about the goldfish that died when my dad was at one of the summits with Mikhail Gorbachev. Stay through that part of it because it's at the end of the credits and then it starts. So stay till you hear that.
Is there a spoiler alert you want to give us here, Michael Regan?
No, that's a spoiler alert. I mean, a lot of people get up to they see the credits think it's over, but you have photos in the credits that really are photos of the actual moments that you see in the movie that are depicted, and then it goes dark, and then it comes back, and you'll see a letter pop up, and it's read by a child, and my dad was at one of the summits, the first summit with the Mikhail Gorbachev. And there was a goldfish pond, and the kid had said, "Listen, will you feed the fish while you're there?" And the fish died.
Yeah.
And so Dad wrote the kid a letter, which shows in the movie. Dad, wrote the kid a letter, story about the fish and what have you. And they replaced it. But then the kid writes a letter back to my dad. Goldfish do die. It's okay, Mr. President. So it's really it's a cute letter there at the end of it. But no, the movie is terrific. I mean, Dennis does a great job. Penelope, John Voight, all of them really do a great job with the movie. I mean, it's a biopic on my dad, communism, and what have you. And, you know, I played, well, the part, if I played a part, it's just the stories that I've had over the years I was able to share with Mark and John Sullivan producing the movie, Dennis, and what have you. They were able to make it in the movie because it connected dots for them at certain moments of the movie. So it was really really nice to see it done right and correctly.
I actually wrote your dad a letter when I was a kid, too. I played him in my school's mock election, and I won, like your dad did, obviously. And so I sent him all my speeches, and I sent him a copy of all my speeches, and he wrote me a letter back how touched he was that I took the time to send him all of my speeches. And so we have that framed with a pack of matches that he gave my dad, who was a cop, when at the Port Authority in New York and New Jersey, and when Marine One landed at the World Trade Center. Your father threw my father a pack of matches from Marine One, two packs of those. So we got the letter framed with a pack of the Marine One matches underneath it on a beautiful frame, which is in my my office. So
that's great. That's another terrific story. There's so many stories about my dad because that's the kind of person he truly was. And but he knew what he believed. He knew why he believed it. And this really goes through the story, him as a child, Dixon, Illinois, growing up, his mom, Nell, how he became a Christian, how much that played into his life when he was shot. You know, there's a part in the movie I think is so, people really need to see it and really absorb it because it wouldn't happen today. Is after my dad is shot and he wakes up in the hospital room, you have Tip O'Neill sitting in a chair with a rosary praying for my father. And ultimately prays with my father and say, would that happen today in the world that we live in today?
Yeah.
Would that truly happen? But that happened between Tip O'Neill, you know, and my dad. And I think that's such a poignant moment in the movie. People need to really absorb that and say, oh my God, it was different back then.
Is it true that they were friends and they would have a drink together at the end of the day?
There's that spot in the movie. You remember about the movie where Tip O'Neill says, you know, we'll battle throughout the days. And Dad says, no, 6 o'clock, it's over. we become friends. And they did. Yeah. I remember, which didn't make the movie, but when Dad and Tip O'Neill put together the largest tax break in American history, Tip O'Neill was invited to the White House for dinner. And him and his wife went up there, and the next day would go back to his staff and say, I'm taking the president's legislation on tax breaks to the floor, and they looked at him and said, you're nuts. You know it'll pass. There's enough back then, Bull Weevil, now Blue Dog Democrats, that'll pass it. Why are you doing that? What did the president promise you at dinner last night? He said, he never spoke about taxes all night long. What in the world did he speak of? He talked about the greatness of America, the goodness of all of our people, and how the two of us working together can make it better for everyone. And before I know it, I'm telling Irish stories with the president. We're having a glass of wine. And today I'm telling you, I'm going to take the legislation to the floor of the House of Representatives. That's how it used to be. And you really missed those days when they found ways to work together. Even though they disagreed with each other, they found ways to work together. I mean, you had Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton figured out a way. Last time the budget was balanced in the United States of America, Bill Clinton was president of the United States. Newt Gingrich, Speaker of the House.
The movie is Reagan. Obviously, it is about President Ronald Reagan. Michael Reagan joins me right now. And the Reagan Legacy Foundation, visit ReaganLegacyFoundation.org and follow it on X at X.com/ReaganWorld. The choice of Dennis Quaid, I thought, was perfect. I mean, he's a fantastic actor, but I thought he nailed it in every single way.
Oh, I thought he did, too. It's very tough. You go in and you're going to play somebody iconic. It's not easy because you have all these Reagan people out there who knew him all these years are looking at you like, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. You know, it's a tough, tough job to be able to do, or Penelope playing Nancy, if you will. So, you know, it's just tough. I thought he did a great job, and Dennis and I, after we were at the Chinese Theater for the opening in L.A., and we walked over because my mom, Jane Wyman, has her handprints and footprints of Grandma's Chinese at Grandma's. So we walked over and got a picture standing over my mom's handprints and footprints of Grandma's. And, of course, my mom's depicted in the movie. And if people could have, people sit there and say, is it okay the way they depicted your mother? And I say, well, the only problem I had, my mom was a size 2. So that's the only problem I have. But my mom just didn't like politics. She didn't. She was an actress. And she was winning Golden Globes and Academy Awards and what have you. And she just didn't like politics. She didn't like the fact she had to go to bed every night and her husband was sleeping with a gun under the pillow. And so their marriage, they broke up. I was 3 years old when they broke up, married for 8 years, and my sister Maureen and myself and what have you. But, you know, she voted for him twice. You could just, you know, back then you could actually disagree with someone and then actually support them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that happens so much today, if you will. But again, she voted for him, even though she just hated politics. I called her one time in the 80s when Dad gave a speech, and I said, so, Mom, you hear Dad's speech? He gave a great speech last night. She said, I didn't like it in the 1940s. What makes you think I'd like it today? I went, okay. All right. So I told Penelope that story. I said, so Penelope, you got it right. She said, thank you for the story. I said, yeah, we're good on that. But no, it really is. It is a history lesson. Go see it because it really is a history lesson. The conversation that took place actually took place between my dad and Gorbachev and my dad and Tip O'Neill and my dad and so many of the other people that are depicted, you know, in the movie. And so nobody made fake, you know, let's make something up to make it look good. No, there's nothing really made up. This is how it really played out. Gorbachev's grandmother truly was a Christian. Dad did end every talk with Mikhail Gorbachev if it's God's will. Those things actually took place. Dad actually, when he says "net" at the end of the movie, is a story that he told me in 1976 when he lost. And I said, Dad, why'd you run? He said, I wanted to become president so I could be the first president to say "net" to a secretary general of the Soviet Union who was asking me to give up something to get along with them. And he didn't know he was not going to run. He didn't know he was going to run in 1980.
Yeah.
But he got to do that in 1980s when he was Mikhail Gorbachev in Reykjavik. And so I told, you know, Mark and everybody that story from 76, and they put it right in the right spot in the movie when they're trying to get Dad to sign on to giving up SDI and Star Wars. And he says, "Yeah."
I love how involved you are in this, Michael Reagan. I think that that's phenomenal. And it shows the reason why. I mean, look, among fans, and I always go by the fans. I don't go by critics. Critics gave it an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes, but the audience score is 98%, which is huge. And that's what I go with. Because, I mean, how's a critic know more than us? But we know the critics are obviously very biased and, you know, very left-leaning. Obviously, no doubt about that. The movie is now available on all major digital platforms, including Amazon Prime Video, Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu, and it reached nearly 30 million in box office receipts, surpassing presidential biopics like LBJ, Nixon, and even Oliver Stone's W. It's fantastic. I mean, it really is. It's a tribute to how much people love your dad. I mean, he's certainly my favorite president. And I loved, the tear down this wall speech, but I the moment in the debate between Mondale when he brings the age thing and he nailed that. I thought that was just still one of the greatest moments in political history. And to this day, whenever I'm talking about public speaking training, I always point to that moment.
Oh yeah, I mean that moment. Of course, the end of the debate with Jimmy Carter. You know, you're better off today. I mean, hearing that every day being used, you know, today in the politics today. So many people quote Ronald Reagan. And I was telling, DeSantis after the debates at the library, he said, you know, what do you think? I said, well, I think the problem is the politicians today are speaking at us, not to us and with us. And that's how kind of the debate came about or sounded like. I said, you need to go back and listen to Ronald Reagan's speeches because he spoke to us in parables.
Yeah.
And you felt his speeches. You didn't just hear what Ronald Reagan said. You felt what Ronald Reagan said. And so as you go through my dad's library, as I went through last Friday again, and you see the videos, you go, you'll laugh in the same spot, you'll cry in the same spot, you'll applaud in the same spot as you did 50 years ago. I mean, that's how important and iconic his speeches were, because my father didn't believe something because he had an aide tell him to believe it. He believed it all the, in his soul, gutturally in his soul. And so when he talked to you about it, he really, really felt it. And he had some great writers around him who really got it and understood it. And of course, he would go and look at the speeches, take out here, put in there, like tear down the wall speech.
That's amazing, because that's my favorite speech. No doubt about that. And that moment, and he delivers it just so perfectly. And that was him, you're saying, Michael Reagan. That was all him.
That was him. I mean, and it's, but again, he had writers, as you saw in the movie, who wanted him to say it, but they were working with State Department. Yeah, and this is what's going on today. You can't appease people and think things are going to get better. Yeah. You just can't do that. Like my dad once told me, he said, there have been four wars in my lifetime, none of which were started because America was too strong. I mean, it's just, that's a reality. And these are things that, you know, I don't know if we'll ever get back to these things, but maybe the movie will allow people in this history lesson to see how it used to be and how people figured it out, got it done, how Mikhail Gorbachev and my dad were able to build a relationship, if you will. You know, I got to, you know, be with Mikhail Gorbachev on a few occasions, my family, my kids, you know, my wife and what have you, at the ranch when they went up the ranch, you know, back when. You know, and they built relationships, and that was so important, and important to Berlin Wall coming down. The relationship between my dad and Pope John Paul II was amazing. Amazing relationship. And, you know, the two of them, both of them felled by assassin's bullet, and they lived, and they finally get together, and they form this bond that brings peace to Poland, wraps it around, and finally the Berlin Wall ultimately does come down. And so important.
Well, you know, I did not get a chance to see it in theaters because I have three young kids, but I am going to, right after the show tonight, I'm going to watch it with my wife. I'm excited. We're going to buy it and watch it. And I encourage everyone to do the same. The movie is Reagan.
My son already bought it.
Well, good. Good. I mean,
my son has three kids, went to the premiere and bought it. So there you go.
That's impressive. That's very impressive. ReaganLegacyFoundation.org, Reagan World on X, and get the movie Reagan. It's great to hear how historically accurate it is. You hear it directly from Michael Reagan himself. Real pleasure to have you on the show. Congratulations on the success of the movie. Congratulations on the incredible legacy of your father that you keep going for all of us. We appreciate it very, very much, Michael Reagan. Thank you so much for joining us here in Philadelphia.
Thanks for having me.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Kirk has the trailer queued up for us on our YouTube stream. And in case you haven't seen the trailer, trailer's fantastic. So let's take a listen and a watch. You got it, Kirk?
Now you can do a thing or two.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
I will be frank with you that as a citizen, I would not like to see any political party outlawed on the basis of its ideology, because I still believe, Mr. Chairman, that democracy can handle it.
I was a brand new KGB officer, given my first intelligence assignment, a certain actor and union leader.
Dutch, there's a purpose for your life.
You can run from a bully for so long, but after a while, you're going to have to stand up to him.
It's my boy!
There's about to be another war right here in Hollywood. The commies on one side, the mob on the other. And you're right in the middle, son.
If you put as much work into your career as you do making your speeches, you'd have an Oscar by now.
Hello, I'm Nancy Davis.
Hello, Nancy Davis. I'm Ron Reagan.
I'm curious, Ron, what would you say is the issue of our time?
No question about it. Communism and the Soviet Union.
Get in the game. Run for office.
It's you!
I'm running for governor, and I would like your vote.
I forgot your name.
Do his initials help, RR?
Honey!
Roy Rogers is here!
And he's running for governor!
Ronnie, remember when we met? You told me that you wanted to make a difference in this world. You know what you have to do.
Governor Reagan again, typically, is against such a proposal.
There you go again.
But he was not afraid to take us on.
There's nothing a retired governor can do about the Soviets. But a president, now he can do a thing or two.
Welcome to your life.
I was a lifeguard on a river.
There's no turning back.
And I learned how to read the currents. Not just the ones on the surface, but also the ones deep underneath the water.
I am about to start the biggest war of this century, and I'm not going to fire a single shot.
You're going to blow up 8 years of diplomacy.
Well, if you think that got their undies in a while, you just wait.
What did the president know, and when did he know it?
What would you have me do?
I want you to fight!
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
There you go. All right, we got a lot more show for you. Elizabeth Pipko is going to join us after 4 o'clock. We'll talk to Dave McCormick. Of course, the Senate polls in Pennsylvania. He's gaining momentum. It's fantastic. But listen, we talk about crime a lot on this show because crime is a major, major issue in the political races, no doubt about it. It's also a major issue in our lives. We see that all the time. Security, safety, top priority for every business owner. So look no further than my friend Tom McCausland and McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure your facilities. They'll help you control access. That means a state-of-the-art key card system so you determine who can go where in your facility. An incredible camera system so that you can keep an eye on everything. That's peace of mind and worth every penny of it. A lot of companies can sell you these things, but there's only one Tom McCausland. His wealth of knowledge and expertise allow McCausland to effectively protect all types of facilities, no matter what the environment. And just as important, their customer service is unmatched. When you need assistance, you'll talk to a local expert, probably Tom himself. You'll never be stuck in a voice message system not knowing what number to push. So if you're serious about protecting your facilities, you need to seriously consider McCausland Lock and Alarm. Just call Tom, 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm. My buddy Tom will do a great job for you and give you the peace of mind to you, so you can protect what matters most, your business, your access, your facilities, what matters most in your business life, obviously. And that's what they do. McCausland Lock and Alarm, securing your business, securing your future.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's a big national security leak about Israel's plans for attacking Iran. Two highly classified reports about Israel's preparations for striking Iran were posted online by a pro-Iran site. There's a lot of questions around this and some developments, too. We're going to talk about that in the next hour. Elizabeth Pipko is going to join me. Dave McCormick, as he gains more and more momentum for his race for U.S. Senate. Today is the deadline to register to vote in Pennsylvania. So please do so if you are not registered to vote. We are streaming live on YouTube, and we're going to stream live with Elizabeth Pipko. And trust me, since she is a former model, you're going to want to see her on YouTube. There's no reason to see me on YouTube. I obviously have a face for radio, but she doesn't. So join us on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/1210WPHD. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
This is the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.